أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Actually, I forgot the order of the classes, but if I'm not mistaken, this is the seventh class concerning كتاب بلوغ المرام. We're dealing with the explanation of the book بلوغ المرام. And we're still dealing with the باب الوضوء, chapter of ablution. And عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. And if I'm not mistaken, that last hadith that we dealt with is al-istinthar, when you get up from your sleep. This is hadith, supposed to be hadith number 34. Hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استيقظ أحدكم من منامه فليستنثر ثلاثا فإن الشيطان يبيت على خيشومه. Which is the meaning is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he must blow off his nose three times, for Satan spends the night inside one's nostrils. Agreed. Okay. And this hadith is agreed upon, so in the highest degree of authenticity, that mean is reported by Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh. If any of the sisters who take notes, Sister Faye has not here, anybody takes notes? You remember what last hadith I mentioned last week? 36. Okay. Alright. So I did 34. Okay. Anyway, since we mentioned the hadith, we said that this hadith have to be taken for the face value of it, because this hadith is telling us about something of the unseen. Okay, from the unseen is the shaitan, iblis, shaitan, the devil is one of the things that deals with what? With the unseen. Things which deals with the unseen, we could not measure it with our measurements. Okay, we don't know how big, how small, how fast, how quick, how slow. all these things we don't know anything about the shaitan in these aspects. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that the shaitan sleeps in your nose or on your nose or inside, okay, all the way down in this, the bones that between the nose and yes, so we have to accept this as is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how, okay? And we are not supposed to reject a hadith because this hadith, it doesn't make sense to you, or you could not understand it, or how, okay? The way of the people of Salaf, the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them all, and the Tabi'een, they bought the Quran and the Hadith as Imam, and the mind and the intellectual of the individual will be what? As a follower. Okay? We did not put our mind as the Imam, and after this we put the Quran and the Hadith as a follower. Because if you put your mind as the Imam, that means whatever makes sense to your mind, you accept it. What doesn't make sense, you reject it. Right? Because the mind has limitation. The same thing like the vision has limitation. The hearing has limitation. The human being in everything has limitation. Therefore, you could not carry a truck, as example, but you can carry a book bag. Why? Because you are limited. Therefore, you can see about maybe 5 miles down the road, but you could not see 50 miles down the road. Why? Because you have limitation. Okay? You can eat a loaf of bread or 2 loaves of bread or 1 chicken, 2 chickens in a meal, okay? But you could not eat the whole Columbia Farm factory or a truckload with chicken. Why? Because you have limitation. The same way your mind has a limitation, alright? Your mind will relate to things that you saw before or that there is a similarity to it, okay? Otherwise, the mind will reject everything, even Allah. Okay? But when you make the Quran and the Hadith to be your Imam, and the mind follow the Quran, the Hadith, you have no problem. And this is the people of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. The people of the Salaf al-Saleh. Okay? The early Muslim generation. This is their way. This is their methodology. This is their minhaj, that they bought the Quran or the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or both of them, to be the judge. And whatever Allah said, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now the mind have to accept. Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and obey. We believe whatever Allah, because Allah is the creator and he knows about the shaitan, and he knows where is the shaitan sleeps and what the shaitan does, and he informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us. Therefore, to practice this hadith, that when a person gets up, that he have to do what? To make istinthar. And the istinthar, that means you taking water in your nose and you blow it out. You take water with the right hand, sniff it inside your nose, and you blow it out with the left hand, and 3 times, okay? Hadith number 35, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَوْمِهِ فَلَا يَغْمِسْ يَدَهُ فِي الْإِنَاءِ حَتَّى يَغْسِلُهَا ثَلَاثًا فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدَهُ. And according Sister Huraya, that we already discussed this hadith. Okay? So, also we quick review for this hadith, that this is a must. Washing the hands before wudu is a sunnah, is optional. You get additional reward for it. But washing the hands when you get up from your sleep, okay? From your sleep, you are not supposed to make wudu until you have to wash your hands first. It's a must in this condition, okay? Especially if you have an ina, you have a vessel of water. You don't dip your hand in it, okay? Alright? To wash it three times. What you do? You tilt the vessel, okay? And you take the water out of the vessel. So if this is the vessel as example, you don't dip your hand inside. But you hold the vessel with one hand and you tilt on the other hand. And you take from this hand and you start wash both hands outside of this vessel. You understand? And you take it for the second time also and you wash outside. And after this for the third time and you wash. Alright? And after this you start to make what? Your wudu, the regular wudu. The Prophet ﷺ said, what the meaning is, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he must not put his hand in a utensil till he has washed it three times, for he doesn't know where his hand was. That means while he was sleeping, okay? That means you don't know what happened to your hand, where is with your hand. If your hand, you understand, fall in something dirty or impurity, or your hand, when you understand, stuck between your legs, or that you scratch your private parts while you're sleeping, and maybe understand some impurity there. So it is very important that, because when a person is sleeping, he's not have his conscience. He doesn't know basically, okay, what he was doing while he was sleeping, especially if he's so tired. So the adab and the mannerism of Islam, that a person when he wakes up, he have to do what? That he have to wash his hands out of the vessel three times first. Okay? Now, we go to hadith number 36. This hadith Laqit ibn Sabra. Hadith Laqit ibn Sabra radiyallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asbighul wudu' وخلل بين الأصابع وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. أخرجه الأربعة وصححه ابن خزيمة. This hadith reported by Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and the Nisa'i and the Bayhaqi and the Hakim. Okay, and Abd al-Razzaq and Ibn Khuzayma, Ibn Hibban, and with a good isnad. Okay, and Imam al-Albani hafizahullah, he classifies this hadith to be authentic, and also Imam al-Tirmidhi, he gave it the degree of sahih, that authentic. The hadith number 36, which reported by Sabira radiyallahu an, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the meaning is, perform a perfect wudu, perform a perfect ablution, run your fingers through fingers of the hands and the toes, and if not fasting, sniff water up well inside your nose. Okay, so the Sahabi who's reporting this hadith, okay, Laqit, huwa ibn Razin Laqit, son of Amir ibn Sabira. He's a famous companion, and he from the town called At-Ta'if, like couple hours away from Mecca. Asbigh al-wudu mean make a complete full wudu, which will cover all the limbs properly without leaving any spots dry. خلل, the word خلل means go between. Okay, wash between. الأصابع is a plural for أصبع, and this referring to fingers or toes. أصابع, you say أصابع اليد or أصابع القدم. أصابع اليد, fingers of your hands. أصابع القدم, your toes, okay, or the fingers of your feet. So the Prophet ﷺ said to wash between them, and this came clear in Hadith Ibn Abbas, Abbas radiallahu anhu, which is in the collection of Imam At-Tirmidhi. This hadith, we learn from it the necessity of performing a full, complete wudu, and also that part of making a complete and perfect ablution, that you wash between your fingers and your toes by using your khansar, the last finger, okay? This is small, the baby finger, this is what you use by going between your toes. And this came in Hadith al-Mustawrid, Ibn Shaddad, he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made wudu and he washed between his toes, okay, with his khansar. And from this we see the necessity of making sure to make the water reach each spot in your members that is supposed to wash it during the wudu. The second thing, the necessity of the istinthar, okay, al istinshaq, taking water in your nose, and the necessity of sniffing the water as far as you can, as long as you are not fasting. So if the person is fasting, he is not supposed to be sniffing the water all the way in, but he still have to take the water in his nose and wash his nose. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ said, Baligh, that means go as far you can, okay, من المبالغة, الاستنشاق, which is taking the water in your nose, إلا, except أن تكون, if you are, إلا أن تكون صائما عليكم السلام. Except in this case that a person is fasting, so now the istinshaq not to be all the way, because the possibility that the water will go in your throat. The next hadith, which is supposed to be the new hadith for today, that hadith number 37, and this in page number 25. وعن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخلل لحيته في الوضوء. أخرجه الترمذي وصححه ابن خزيمة. Okay. حديث number 37 that narrated from Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was performing his wudu, ran his fingers through his beard. And this is again the word yukhallil, okay, takhlil, to go through, okay. So this called takhlil, and this called takhlil, but in the fingers, washing between the fingers, this is takhlil. And putting also this finger between your toes is called takhlil. And going through the hair of your beard, this is called takhlil. This is the reason we call mukhallilat like khiyar mukhallil. If you hear this term, when you go to Arabic restaurant, you say khiyar, مخلل cucumbers, okay, مخلل, because they cut the cucumbers to half and they put the salt and the vinegar in the middle, okay. So this process, they call it تخليل, because they're going through it, alright. They make it what, like pickles, alright. So this is called تخليل. So he said he put his fingers through his beard. This hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim, that Imam At-Tirmidhi, he said that this hadith is hasan, is good, and also Al-Hakim. And here I'm going to have to refer a small booklet which I'm, some of you familiar with it, called Sifat Wudu An-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, the description of the wudu of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the reason, because I don't know if this is written in the English or no, talking about a useful thing that Al-Hafiz said. Do you have this hadith number 37, and you got a footnote, I think number 5, during the performance of ablution of the beard with fingers, sunnah, okay, but what I'm looking for, that is, I don't think. Okay, I'm going to say it in Arabic, see if you have it in the English version or no. See, inshallah, we're planning to spend a lot of time with this book, so I encourage all of you to try to purchase it. And Brother Jihad, he give a special discount for the students if you have the book, or he can order it for you, inshallah. Alright, all what you have to tell him that you are a student in the Sheikh's class, he give you 10% discount, inshallah. Okay, this is say that Imam Al-Hafiz, okay, it's a beneficial or a benefit or a useful point. Qala Abdullah ibn Ahmad an Abi, Abdullah son of Ahmad from his father, he said that nothing is authentic concerning running the finger through the lihya, the beard. And said Ibn Abi Hatim from his father, he said, لا يثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تخليل اللحية شيء, that nothing concerning the تخليل اللحية is authentic. Do you have this in the English? No, I'm asking a specific question. Anybody have the English translation? Because I don't know how much written there in the Bulugh al-Maram English. Anybody have this? Okay. Look in page number 25, footnote down. Do you see anything concerning what I just said? Or in page 26? Yes, what? Okay. No, I said something. Do you see it there? Where she is saying again that Al-Hafiz making a footnote saying, but Abdullah from Ahmad, from his father, he said that nothing authentic concerning putting the fingers through the beard. And he said that Ibn Hatim from his father, he said nothing related to this affair that authentic. And said that because in the Sanad of Hadith, Amir ibn Shaqiq, and he is weak. And Imam al-Bukhari said, his Hadith is Hasan, is good. But some of the scholars, they gave the degree of good to some of the Isnad and the chain of this Hadith. And Tirmidhi said, Muhammad said, the most authentic thing concerning takhlil al-lihya, putting your beard, your fingers through your beard is the hadith of Uthman. I said to him, but some people, they talk about it ill. He said, this hadith is good, it's Hassan. Do you have these things? Okay. Now, because this footnote, I thought that you have it there in English, so to remove the doubt from some of you, I brought with me this booklet, which is the description of the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there is disagreement among the scholars concerning this issue to such a degree that some of the scholars, they said all the ahadith relating to takhlil al-lihya are weak. Okay? But here we have from hadith Uthman radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yukhallilu lihyata. Okay? He used to go with his fingers through his beard. Alright, regardless you go this way or are you going to go this way. Okay? This is called takhlil. And this hadith reported in the collection of Tirmidhi, number 31, and said Hassan and Sahih, and Ibn Majah reported in hadith number 430, wa Ibn al-Jarud in the page number 43, and al-Hakim. And he said that its isnad is sahih, and Ibn Khuzayma and Ibn Habban said that is authentic. And he brought this from Sharh al-Sunnah for Imam al-Baghawi. Another hadith, Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, reported عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا توضأ أخذ كفا من ماء فأدخله تحت حنكه فخلل به لحيته وقال هكذا أمرني ربي عز وجل. And I know most of the brothers, they don't have a problem with this because barely their beard go more than 1 inch. But still, if your beard 1 inch or no beard, it is very important to know the knowledge. Because even if you don't have a beard, not because you want to be disobedient to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but some people, they don't have a beard. This nature, Allah created them like this, okay? Therefore, we don't take the knowledge only for practice, we take the knowledge for practice and to teach it to others. So it is very important to know this. And listen to this hadith which reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to, when he make wudu, he will take a handful, okay, of water, and he will put it under his chin, and he will make takhlil for his beard. And listen what he say. He said, exactly this is the way my Lord command me, the most honorable one. Okay? Alaykum as-salam. That he is a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that Allah commanding me to do this. Okay? And this hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood with number 145, and al-Bayhaqi and al-Hakim and Shaykh al-Albani hafizahullah said that this hadith is authentic to such a degree that some of the scholars, they said that takhlil al-lihya is wajib, is must, and if he neglected intentionally that he have to repeat his salah. Okay? And this saying is from Imam Ishaq and Ibn Thawr, and most of the scholars, they decline and they went to the other opinion that is mustahab, is a preferably, and is not a must. And properly, that this will be to the person who has a light beard. Okay? But regardless whatever, we have to understand, the only reason I brought this, because that some of the scholars, they had negated all the hadith relating to the lihya of the takhlil. Okay? and said, there is nothing authentic in this, like I just read it to you. From Bulugh al-Maram, the footnote in Arabic, it says that nothing authentic concerning this. And Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhi, and al-Layth, and most of the scholars, the people of knowledge, they said that takhleel al-lihya, running your fingers through your beard, is a must in the ghusl of janabah, and that mustahab in the wudu. Okay? If a person make an obligatory ghusl, shower, okay, that he have to take the water and go with his finger through his beard, and through the wudu will be what? Will be a mustahab, that is preferably for you to do so. Alright. Was this hadith we just finished from it? Number 37? Okay. Hadith number 38. Let's see if there is any additional information here. Hadith number 38. And page number 26. وعن عبد الله بن زيد قال إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتي بثلثي مد فجعل يدلك ذراعيه أخرجه أحمد وصححه ابن خزيمة. This hadith is authentic. Hadith number 38 narrated Abdullah ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him, that Zayd said two-thirds of mud of water was brought to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for ablution. So he began rubbing his arms, reported by Ahmad and Ibn Khuzayma. And the hadith is authentic. And he may have in the footnote showing you in some hadith a full mud has been mentioned. One mud is a little more than 600 grams. This is the least quantity of water mentioned for ablution. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to perform ablution with a small amount of water. Maximum limit of water has not been ordained. Any amount of water may be used for ablution and bath, but water should not be waste. In this hadith, which is a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utiya bi thulutay mud, okay, Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he two-thirds of mud. Mud, okay, from to stretch your hand, and the mud, because you fill your hand, or that you stretch your hand to give this thing, which is in actuality is a measurement that they use. And this is, has two ratl, all one ratl and a third, or if a person with a middle size of hand, okay, he will fill his hand. This is your palm, okay? You fill your hand and you will stretch your head with it and give it. This is called mud. Two-thirds of mud. And you remember that the sa', if you relate it, when we give the zakah, we give it by what? Sa' min bur, sa' min sha'ir, okay? So the sa' is four times of putting your two hands together. When you fill your, put your two hands together like this, and you fill it, you scoop the rice 4 times. Okay? So 1 time will be mud. 4 times will be what? Sa'. And this is the sa' will be sufficient for each members of your family. So if you have 5 people in your family, you have to give how many? 5 sa'. 5 sa' will be what? 20 hands full like this with rice or barley or raisin. You fill it, you scoop it. Some people their hands too small, some people their hands too big, we say the middle size. So now this is one mud. Okay? And another narration came that the Prophet ﷺ been brought to him one mud. And one say what? 2/3 of mud. That means, can you imagine filling your hands, put your hands like this under the faucet and fill it with water. So this is what? About, I say, approximately 12 ounces of water. Almost, if you fill a cup, 12 ounces with water, this supposed to be what? Sufficient for your wudu. Okay? This is supposed to be sufficient for your wudu. And this here, we have a footnote. It says that the hadith is saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says that the sa' of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is 4 mud, is 2500 gram. If you know the gram, okay, so 2500 gram of water. So the mud is 625 gram. Although that this hadith is authentic, it's saying that is no hadith is saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu with 2/3, but the authentic one that he made a wudu with one mud, because it's saying that he became start rubbing his arms with it, and the wudu is not only rubbing the arms. Okay, and says that the most authentic thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu with one mud, from hadith Abu Zar'a, from hadith Aisha and Jabir, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make ghusl with sa' and make wudu with mud. That he used to make ghusl, full shower with a sa', that means 4 mud. Okay? And he used to make wudu with what? With one mud. So how many sa' we used to make wudu? Okay? The Prophet ﷺ used to, one sa', mean you fill your hands like this with water 4 times, will be sufficient for the Prophet ﷺ to make a full ghusl from head to toe. Now, sa' to some Muslims nowadays is not enough to make wudu. Can see them when they turn the faucet, you understand, and the water will be as if you're going to put fire out or something. Huh? As if you're calling the fire department and it's now running water, huh? And after this, he may found that even they left some spots dry in their body. That hadith Aisha, which Muslim, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, also from another hadith, made a similar hadith Safina, and from hadith Anas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu from a vessel that will withhold 2 ratl. Okay, that means made wudu from ratl. From what we understand from this discussion and this hadith, that you should be what you call this, not the spendthrift, the other word, not mindful. You should be thrifty with the water when you make an wudu or ghusl. Okay, even if you're sitting in the ocean on a river, And if Islam teaching us this, that we be thrifty even with the water for wudu, this to be something in our life. And believe it or not, my brothers and sisters, one of the main problems on our economics and our income is not how much money that we're making or how much money we have. Sometimes the problem because we don't know how to spend our money. Okay? That because we are not thrifty with things. You find some people, as soon as you hear the word about sales, they be running. And they just last week was in sales. And the week before they went to the department store for sales. And anytime, all what you have to do, tell them, hear it in the radio or see it in the magazine, in the paper in the weekend, there is sales. They have no need for this clothes they buy. But because this term sales deceives them, fools them, and they go buying, and they accumulate things in the closet, pants over pants, and trousers over trousers, and shirt over shirt, and keeping bottom things because with a discount sale. Okay? So if we learn these things in wudu, we try to emphasize it and put it in our life. So we don't have to be cooking too much. And after this, put it in the refrigerator for 2 and 3 days. And after this, you don't care for it. And the next thing is going to the trash can. But we tempt ourselves that we're going to eat it maybe tomorrow, the day after, and after 2-3 days now, you don't think about you're going to eat it, so it goes in the trash. Okay? And will be better that you go, leave the food, and you still desire it, than to have more food and go and save it in the box, and after this you throw it in the trash. Okay? So if you know that your family for sure will eat 5 cups of rice, will be better that you cook 4 rice cups. 4 cups of rice, okay? And will better to be less than to be more, and goes usually about 1/8 of our income goes in the trash can, okay? And if you try to observe this and watch it, you will see the truthfulness of what I'm saying. Okay? And I'm glad my wife is not here, or she would think I'm talking about her. But I'm talking in general, okay? This is happening almost in everybody's house, that food gone in the trash can. That we understand also that there is no limitation for how much water you can use, but it's preferably that a person to be thrifty as much as he can. So this hadith saying, alaykum as-salam, this hadith was saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the three, with 2/3 of the mud, he was doing what? He was rubbing his arm. So the hadith is authentic. But we're saying that we don't know a hadith which is saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a full wudu, okay, with 2/3 of mud. But the hadith that we have, that authentic in Sahih Muslim as example, and other collections, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made wudu with what? With one mud. He made wudu with what? With one mud of what? Of water. How much is this mud of water? They fill, you put your two hands together, fill it with water, this is called mud. Okay? And this should be sufficient for you to make wudu. What is the minimum water the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used for ghusl? Sa'. How much is a sa'? 4 hands full with water, it should be sufficient for your ghusl. Okay. وعنه, that mean referring to the same narrator, which is Abdullah ibn Zayd, أنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأخذ لأذنيه ماء غير الماء الذي أخذه لرأسه. أخرجه البيهقي وهو عند مسلم من هذا الوجه بلفظ ومسح برأسه بماء غير